When I learned to play the cello, I want to play it just like that. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. God bless you. It's amazing how the instruments, when they're in the hands of people that know how to use them, can speak to your heart, especially if you've heard the song before and you know the words that go with it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In your Bibles this morning, if you will, Psalms chapter 119. Chapter 119. For those of you who haven't been with us, and perhaps some new folk watching online, we want to refer to the fact of Psalms 119 being the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's divided into 22 different groups of 8 letters in each group, and this is the last of those groups. And so this morning the title is Finally the Final. Finally the Final. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, we find that God has been working to ensure us of our need for the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you can't go to heaven. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so, one day in God's economy, because He loved us, the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And then the Bible says that after presenting Himself to the world and walking in this world, this dirty, filthy, rotten world for approximately 33 and a half years, He went to the cross of Calvary and died there and shed His blood. And His blood is sufficient to wash away all your sin, all my sin. And so He did that for us, and then they put Him in a borrowed tomb, and He could use a borrowed tomb because He wasn't going to need it very long. 72 hours later, He stood up and walked out of that grave, and then He fellowshipped with His disciples and that church that He had already started. He fellowshipped with them and gave them some final instruction, and then He stepped on a cloud and went back to heaven with the promise that He's coming again. That's what we heard about in Sunday school this morning. But the importance of God's Word. You see, we would never know those things if it wasn't for the Bible. And I thank God today that we have a perfect copy of the Bible. Someone says, well, what about the originals? You bring the originals and we'll compare them. How about that? You bring the originals and we'll compare them. And the truth is, there are no originals today. We have to trust this one. And as we've studied it out, as we've taken this verse and compared it to that verse, and this chapter to that chapter, and this book to that book, we come by and we say, my goodness, that has to be the Word of God. Only God could do something like that. And so we're grateful today that we have the Word of God. And God here is telling us some of the importance of us living daily by the Word of God, and telling us how that we can accomplish individual dreams, individual desires can be accomplished as we walk in the Bible. Walk in the light as He is in the light, the Bible testifies, and we need to do that. And so we begin reading this morning in 169, verse 169, and we'll read down through here, and then we'll try to share with you some of the things the Lord spoke to our hearts about as we study this. The Bible says, let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy word. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy word. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Let Thine hand help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word, and I trust He'll help me as I try to share some thoughts with you. First off, in this portion of Scripture, we see a prayer of enlightenment. God speaking to this man, and he says, I have this desire. I want to present this prayer request to you. And so he says, let my cry come near thee, O Lord. And that speaks of a relationship between the father and one of his children.
We as God's people who are really born again, we have this unique relationship with God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit because of the ministry of Jesus Christ and what He's done for our life and the changes that He's made. We have a God who is accessible. We have a God who says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And God always invites us to talk to Him and speak to Him and carry all of our concerns to Him, cast all of our care upon the Lord Jesus because He cares, for He cares for us. He careth for us. And never have I ever, since I got saved in 1966. That's probably twice as long as some of you have been on planet Earth. But in my salvation, I have never one time tried to talk to the Lord and got a busy signal. I have never one time tried to talk to the Lord and found a sign that said closed, gone to dinner, gone to supper, gone to lunch. I never have found that. Now I have found that when I called other businesses on planet Earth, and it caused me to sometimes wonder if I couldn't maybe develop a button that I could push, and if you put me on hold, I could push that button and it'd blow your phone up. I begin my conversations by don't put me on hold. But you don't have to worry about that with the Lord Jesus. He's accessible. We can come into His presence and He welcomes us into His presence. He has chosen to provide a link. God the Father has chosen to provide a link between Him and us. And that link is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the connection. Jesus is the connector. And we need to understand that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. And you need to remember this because you have friends that are living under a religion. And I do say under without apology. They're living under a religion that is disqualified because of this right here. Listen to what the verse says. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5 says, "For there is one God." Now, we ought to remember that. Well, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We don't have to go to someone else and say, would you connect me with God? Would you help me reach God? Would you do something for me so I can talk to God? I have this need in my life. We don't have to do that. Jesus performs all those things for all of His people all over the world if we'll just exercise faith and talk to Him. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Oh, listen, well, God's people need to learn that we're connected with the Father through Jesus the Son. Well, now, what is it that this psalmist, whoever it is, what is it that he asked for? Well, first, that God would listen to his petition. That's what he wants him to do. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." And so when you want to talk to God, just make sure that what you're talking to him about is something that is in his will. He doesn't have to go out of his will to answer a prayer for you, but if you're praying in his will, he's promised that he is going to answer you. And then he asked the Lord to listen to his petition. He asked the Lord that he would grant him understanding. Understanding. You know, we send our kids off to school to get them wisdom. I was funning with a young man that came with Miss Lisa. He's in Miss Lisa's class yesterday, and he was here at the fall festival. And I said, "Would you help me give Miss Lisa a test?" Miss Lisa being a school teacher, his school teacher. And he said yes and kind of smiled. I said, "What's 1 + 1? He said, 2. I said, "She passes. She passes." That's simplified, but we need to understand that Jesus Christ wants to give us not just education and he wants to give us understanding. When Solomon prayed, he prayed and said, I want to have understanding so that I can lead this great people. And then a couple of verses later, God says, I have given thee understanding And so it's right and it's proper for us to pray that God will help us to understand something according to thy word. And so we need to understand that that knowledge is important, but we need to have understanding. Understanding is what allows us to put knowledge into proper effect and proper prospect with the word of God, which means we're able to discern things in light of what God has to say. Because if we're understanding something contrary to what God has to say, we're heading off in the wrong direction, and we're going to need to turn around. And then he asked God to give him he prays for empowerment and enablement, the ability to do what he's supposed to do. That's in verse number 170. He asked the psalmist asked the Lord to rescue him. Now, I believe he was already saved, though down later he says something about, I long for thy salvation. Longed, and that's a past tense. I long for it. Jesus satisfies that. And I think there too, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but lest I forget, I think what the psalmist was saying, I want to see my salvation completed. And salvation won't be completed until God has taken us to heaven and we're standing in the very presence of God. And then our salvation will be absolutely and totally, totally completed. And I think that's what he was asking for, enablement. He asked for enablement. And he asked God to deliver him. He wants God to deliver him from difficulties. But I wonder if he wasn't asking God to deliver him from doubt also. I wonder, you say, well, why would you think that? Because we find ourselves doubting so much. We find ourselves wondering, will God really do this? And God said he would do it. We need to trust him with that. And so the psalmist says he needed deliverance from difficulties, and he needed deliverance from doubt. And there are possibly some reasons why his prayer hadn't been answered yet. Pardon me. He had talked to the Lord several times about this, I believe, and he's wondering why hasn't God answered this prayer? Have you ever asked God that? You pray something, and you say, why, Lord, why haven't you answered this? I've come to you morning, noon, and night, and you haven't answered this. I've thought a lot of times, I wonder how many times the Jewish people, when they're locked up down in Egypt, I wonder how many times mamas went to bed and prayed for deliverance and asked the question, oh, Father, why haven't you answered this question? Well, I believe there are some reasons that our prayers aren't answered. One reason would be that there's something wrong with God's promises. Erase that one, because all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so that's it. Just throw that one out. There's nothing wrong with God's promises. That can't be it. And then perhaps there was something wrong with the psalmist. Maybe there was something in his heart, that something wrong with his prayer life, something of that nature. But maybe the prayers weren't getting up past the ceiling. Maybe no one, God or anyone else, heard the prayer. Listen to what the Bible says in verse number 18 of Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And so, listen, if I'm practicing some sin, if I regard iniquity, I'm holding some sin closer to me than I am the commands of the Lord. If I regard iniquity, if I like this iniquity, if I'm involved in iniquity, and I talk to the Lord, my Bible tells me God will not hear me. And so when the Holy Spirit of God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, listen to me, if you want me to listen to you, you've got to get rid of that. I've got to be number one in your life. You can't serve the devil and serve the Lord at the same time. And so he says that if you regard, to regard means to hold in high esteem. It means to hold it near to you. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And another reason I think God doesn't answer prayer, and I think maybe this happens more often than we realize, but I think the Lord is wanting us to recognize, number one, his presence, number two, his abilities, and number three, he wants us to learn to trust him. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. There was a man that was a member of the church, Faith Baptist Church, in Darmstadt, Germany, when we were in Austria. We would go up there. They supported us. Tremendous church, tremendously good to us. And there was a man in there that he had no GPS. I mean, he could be looking dead into the sun at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and think he was going west. I mean, he had no balance at all as far as directions. And so one time he was going on visitation with the preacher. He said, "I'll drive, preacher." And the preacher said, "I foolishly got in his car." And he said, "This is a shortcut, preacher. Trust me. This is a shortcut, preacher. Trust me." And after him saying that several times, the preacher said, "Hey, listen, why don't you trust me for a little bit? Make a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn down here. Go down here to this road, and we'll go that way." And the preacher took it into his own hands. But you don't, excuse me, you don't have to do that with the Lord. Pardon me. I remember one time, Brother Mays was talking about those Weaver kids. I remember one time I took a drink of something, and one of the Weaver kids had put 7-Up in there instead of water. Praise God, that's all he could find. Amen. So we need to understand that God wants us to learn to trust him. And he, you know the song we sing, and we sing it every once in a while, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now that's not a Bible verse, that's a song verse, but it sure does put a biblical principle into a way we can see it. Trust and obey, listen, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you're in Jesus today, you need to know that if you don't trust and obey, you can't be as happy as God wants you to be. And you can satisfy this flesh, you can take care of this flesh, you can pamper this flesh, you can do whatever you want to with this flesh, but if you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your life, you're never going to be as happy as God wants you to be until you learn to trust and obey. And I think many times God doesn't answer our prayers as to getting us out of a hard spot or getting us out of a hot spot because he wants us to learn to trust him. We love him, and now he wants us to trust him. And so if you're wondering today why God doesn't answer your prayers sometimes, maybe that's the reason. And then maybe today you doubt. You doubt. You remember Jesus, after he was resurrected, he met the disciples, the apostles, in Galilee, and he the Bible says he upbraided them for their unbelief. They doubted. When the women came and said, "We've seen him, the tomb is empty, he's gone. We talked to him," and they doubted, and the Bible says that Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief. We need to understand. Here's another Bible verse for you. Psalms 139, verse number 23 and 24. The Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any way in me, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so we need to understand that this man came to the Lord with a petition presented. He presented his petition before the Lord. And then the second thing I see here is that he promised praise. Basically, he said, "Lord, if you'll answer this prayer, if you'll show yourself real to me, I promise you I will praise you the rest of my days." In a tight spot, have you ever promised the Lord you're going to do something, and then the pressure comes off, and you went back to doing what you wanted to do rather than what he wanted you to do? That's very possible. It happens, I think, and probably nearly everybody tries that one time or another. He says, my lips shall utter praise. He had probably learned a lot of things from other people. Most of us have learned from other people. We're taught perhaps as children. And let me say today, if you had a mama who sang the Word of God to you, who read the Word of God to you, if your daddy called you together and said, "Let's read the Scriptures together," you are a blessed child. Even as an adult, your mind can go back to those times and refresh yourself and think about those times, and they're good times. You're blessed if that happened. You know, the Bible says that Paul said to Timothy in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse number 15, that from a child thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We learn basic passages of Scripture, and we're instructed in the Word. Listen, but the best lessons you'll learn, and the ones that will be more profitable to you and thereby more profitable to everyone you love, are the ones that you open up the book to a particular place and you study to show yourself approved unto God, and God locks something into your mind and God himself teaches you, and you learn things and you become obedient to things. And the Bible says when man is taught by the Lord, his lips shall utter praise. The indication is, if the Lord will do this for him, I'm going to serve you forever. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, Jeremiah said, and Jeremiah was going through a terrible time. He had already been told of God, I'm going to send you to a people that won't listen. I'm going to send you to a hard-hearted group of people, not hard-headed, but hard-hearted, and they're going to turn your message away. They're going to treat you vile. They're going to disdain you. They're going to hate you. They're going to want to get rid of you. And finally, Jeremiah said, I quit. I quit. That's it. I quit. But then later on, he writes this. Then said I will make no mention of him, of the Lord, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, because of the word of God I had already in my heart, because I had hid it in my heart, when I tried to leave the ministry, when I tried to leave God's calling upon my life, when I tried to stop serving God, those Bible verses kept coming up and kept coming up. And the Bible says that they were in his heart as a burning fire. You shut up a burning fire and there's going to be an explosion. And Jeremiah knew that he had to continue to serve the Lord. I must, he said, I must praise God for what he's done for me. He said in Psalms 172 that his tongue shall speak the word of God. Unfortunately, a lot of the things we say today with our tongue are not things that are good for us or anybody that's around. Often comes out pride. You know, it's a wasted conversation when you're conversing with someone and they just tell you all the wonderful things they've done and how fortunate God is that you're on his team. That's a wasted conversation. And sometimes when we speak prideful things, and pride comes out, and we understand and know that pride is a hindrance to us. And then not only pride, but sometimes we speak destructive things, harmful things, hurtful things, disrespectful things. We need to guard our tongue, need to watch what we say. James reminds us in chapter 3 and verse number 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. And so the psalmist promises he's going to speak the word of God. But before I can speak the word of God, I have to know the word of God. The word of God goes through the eye gate or the ear gate, and it goes... Jesus said, let these sayings sink down into your heart. Not up into your brain, but down into your heart. Let them become a part of you, is what Jesus was saying. And we need to understand that if we have the Word of God in us, then we can meditate on things. And when something comes up, the Word of God will come up and help us. When we're trying to witness to people, verses we haven't thought about for a long time will come calling back to our heart, and we'll be able to speak those things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to watch our tongue, what it says. We need to take care of our tongue. And then there's a provision that is preferred by the psalmist. He'd rather have this. He says in Psalms 173, help me. He asked simply for help. The basis of his appeal is that the psalmist had made a choice. His choice was the precepts of God. His choice was the Word of God. There is a choice that each of us have to make. In the matter of salvation, I cannot make the choice of salvation for you. You have to make that choice for yourself. And you have to, not only do you have to make that choice in salvation, but you have to make that choice as how you're going to surrender to him. Are you going to give in to him? Are you going to give over to him? Or are you going to give up to the Lord Jesus and let him rule your life? You see, we all have a choice on who we are going to allow to govern our life. We all have the choice of who's going to tell us what to do. We all have that choice. And The psalmist knew he had that choice, and the psalmist chose the precepts of God. He said, this is what I want to rule my life. This is what I want to rule my life. Now, that's an awful big book. It commands a lot of things. It tells us a lot of things. And that's why the Bible says study, study. Don't just read through it lightly and forget it and check off your calendar. I read my Bible today. Now, that's important, but it's important, too, that we study. Take a subject and study it. Find out what God says about that subject so that we'll know, and it'll help us to choose the Word of God. And then in Psalms 174, he says, save me. And, of course, I think he was already saved. He says in verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. I think the psalmist is saying, I'm just anxious to get to heaven. I'm anxious to see the culmination of all this. I'm anxious to see where this is all going. I want to be at a place where there's no sin. I want to be in a place where there's no death, no dying, no crying, no heartaches, no hurting, no remorse, no regrets. All those things are in a place called heaven. And the psalmist says, I'm longing for God to consummate this salvation and get me into the presence of the Lord. You see, salvation really is a progressive thing. Now, don't let that statement confuse you. First off, when we get saved, we're saved from the penalty of sin. And then as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, the Bible calls that sanctification, being set apart for a particular purpose. And as we are sanctified, we're saved from the power of sin. Now, that'll never be completely eradicated, because the Bible says, 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But we can have less of a battle with sin today than we did 10 years ago. As we've searched the Word of God and studied the Word of God and let the Word of God work in our heart. So we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin. And one of these days, either by death or by what we call the rapture, we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Do you realize how much different your life will be when there's no sin in your life? When there's no sin around to bother you? I don't think that there's a lock anywhere in heaven. And I think probably if there's a locksmith during that millennial reign we talked about a little bit this morning, heard about in Sunday school, if there is a lock in there, it's just because the locksmith hasn't gotten there to remove it. No need to have locks on the doors in heaven. I remember when I was raised in a house, we had no locks on any doors. If my dad would have come up and tried to get into his house and the door was locked, I don't know what kind of an explosion we would have seen. But there aren't any locks in heaven. And I believe that's what the psalmist was longing for. He was longing for that day. And as we delight in the Word of God, we long for the complete salvation in our glorified bodies. Can you imagine a body that doesn't hurt? Some of you I know and some people I'm watching, to have a body that doesn't hurt, it shows no pain, it has no reaction to pain because there is no pain. Just the thought of that is a relief. Just the thought of that is a comfort. No more Bayer aspirin. No more Tylenol. No more of the drugs that people use to chase away pain and sometimes disappointment too, but none of those things. And that's the reason we simply sing the song sometimes, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. And then he says that protection is possible. He seeks God's strength. He was aware of his need for life, and he was aware of his need for help. Life comes from God and God alone. And let me say this. Because life comes from God and God alone, no man has the right or the authority to try to end the life of another man, with one exception. And that's capital punishment. The Bible says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. That's capital punishment. You can cook that up any way you cook it, and it still comes out the same. I think you can take any foreign Bible in the world. I think you can take anything that claims to be Scripture, and you'll find the same thought there, that God is against all death except that which he performs and capital punishment, which he authorizes and eventually executes. He also acknowledges that God's word will help him and strengthen him. As long as we live, our lives should praise the Lord. it wearies me sometimes when you're knocking on doors or talking to people in the street or in the grocery stores or wherever. You find someone who will listen for a little bit, and it wearies me for them to say, I used to. Well, I used to go to church regularly, but then I moved down here, and I just haven't gotten started in church lately. And I said, well, how long have you been down here? Oh, let's see, about 20 years. You know, if you've been 20 years out of church, you've been looking for church like this. And let me give you this thought, too. If you find yourself in a place and you really believe you're there of the Lord, then there is a church you can serve God in. Amen. Or God sent you there to establish a church with His help that you can serve God in. It's just as simple as that. God doesn't want His people running around not having a place where they can serve the Lord. It's just unheard of. And so, well, I guess it's not unheard of in man's language, but it's unheard of in biblical talk. So he acknowledges the word of God. It will help him and it will strengthen him, and it will us too. As long as we live, we're supposed to praise the Lord. And really, we cannot survive powerfully if we're shirking the word of God. We just physically, the word of God will affect us physically. As we study it, as we hide it in our heart, as we cast our cares upon Christ, as we're filled with the joy of the Lord and the Holy Ghost of God, it cannot help but help us to serve the Lord better, give us more strength. And so he seeks the Lord's tender care in verse number 176. Did not Jesus say, I'm the good shepherd? Jesus wants to care for us. We need a tender and a loving shepherd. We don't need a hireling of some kind. We need a shepherd that will love us, a shepherd that will comfort us, a shepherd that will chastise us, chasten us, and bring us back into line. I never had much to do with sheep when we were growing up. We didn't raise many of them, but I understand that when they had the big flocks, I mean, I've been up north of where I was raised up in Buckeye and one thing or another and saw flocks of sheep that were probably at least 1,000, maybe more than that. And the people that take care of those things, there's always one that wants to run astray. And so the shepherd that loves that one will break the leg of a lamb. He'll heal that he'll mend that break, and then he'll carry that one around until it's well enough that he can put it down. The result is that that lamb will stay close to the shepherd. And sometimes when trouble comes into my life or something, I feel an ouch, I feel a twinge, I feel a hurt. I'm wondering, and I have to ask myself the question, is God trying to get me closer to Him? I know God can heal the hurt. I know He can heal the heartache, and He can heal me physically. And I wonder sometimes when I go through those things if God isn't saying, listen, let me take care of you. He's the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And so we need to understand that if we find ourselves outside the flock, we find ourselves away, wandered away from the Lord, we need to remember the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will always direct you back to where you're supposed to be. And we ought to ask the Lord, not Susie, not Deacon Smith, not even Pastor Do-Right. We need to ask the Lord and take what He tells us. And remember that we have a shepherd who loves us, who will seek us until He finds us, and He'll restore us, listen, if we're willing. You know, God doesn't force people to do things very often. He just makes us willing. We had a couple in our church in Colorado Springs that sang a song. He did not force them to go. Oh, no. He just made them willing to leave when He sent the hornets. He didn't force them to leave. He could have just pushed them out. He could have snapped His fingers and they'd have flown away. But he sent the hornets to chase them away. And so we need to understand that He'll seek us and restore us if we're willing. God's power, as powerful as it is, stops at least for a time at a heart that won't surrender to Him. at a heart that continually tells him, no, I won't do that. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we use all kinds of excuses. I've been doing what she, I've been doing what they want me to do. I'm going to do something I want to do. And God says, psst, 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 psst. Hey, how about me? How about me? And God will restore us if we're willing. So let me ask the question this morning. Have you learned anything from this message? Has the Spirit of God spoken to your heart? Has he taught you anything? Has he reminded you of anything? Is there something that the Lord's been speaking to you about? Maybe he's been talking to you about getting saved. Having a knowledge, a know-so. I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Don't have to fret about it. Don't have to worry about it. God's promises are sure. God's promises are true, and they're everlasting. And so I can know. These things have I written, the Word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Maybe there's some habit in your life that God's been dealing with you about. God says, I want you to stop that. That's harming your testimony. It's harming what people think of Jesus, and I want you to quit that. Maybe there's something in your life that God's been speaking to you about separation from. And maybe there's a service that God wants you to perform, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I'll pray about it. Well, how long have you been praying about it? How long have you been praying about it? We need to understand that sometimes when God says jump, we don't even need to ask how high. We just need to jump to the best of our ability in our service to Him. And then maybe God's been speaking to you about steadfastness. Just sticking by the stuff. Listen, I know as well as anybody that it's not always easy to stick by the stuff. It's not always easy to be faithful. It's not always popular to be faithful. It doesn't always help you in your family surroundings to be faithful. But it's always right to be faithful. The Bible says it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. A steward is one to whom the owner or someone who's willing to transfer his personal things into the life of a person. You want God to transfer His peace and His power? You want Him to transfer those things into your life? You've got to be faithful. You've got to be faithful. Someone says, well, I promised the Lord last week, last month, last year, I promised Him that I would do such and such, or I would no longer do such and such. Well, tell God that you lied. Tell God, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Today would be a good day to promise the Lord you're going to spend more time in the Word and that you're going to spend more time doing what the Word tells you to do. Today. Today, if you're not saved, today would be a good day to get saved. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.